far as commissioners, I have myself, Mary, Bobby, and Kay. So the only current member is Lois here.
Yeah, yes, I am.
Okay, so Lois.
Present.
And Diane.
This is Diane Rabb. I'm late, sorry.
Okay, that's good. So, I mean, Diane's the council representative, but she's not a commissioner. Matthew Friday keeps showing up in lists, but Matthew Friday is no longer on this commission. He's been removed. And Phil Porter has recently resigned from the commission. So we have the one, two, three, there's five of us, and we're all present tonight. So definitely a quorum is present. So since we're all here, I will call the meeting to order at 6:04. In the packet, we had minutes from January 6th, and I guess that's it. I'm assuming it's because we have not approved those yet, Tom. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, Steve. We have not approved those minutes.
Okay.
And I'll make
were there
the
minutes
motion.
From
yeah,
a June
the minutes meeting? Were there. Do you want me to make a motion to approve the minutes from the January?
I'm just trying to I'm just asking if there were the June meeting minutes or the May meeting minutes were anywhere yet. But
no, they're not completed, and the January minutes were on the last meeting. We just never made a motion to approve them.
So was that Kay? Did you make a motion?
Yes, I did.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Who was that? Who seconded? Please state your name when you make a motion.
I did, Mary Hebert.
Okay, so motion by Kay, seconded by Mary. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the January minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign, the minutes are approved. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the Heritage Funding Team discussion. I will open it up for discussion.
This is Tom Eustace. Did everybody receive David Kimball's email of yesterday, of Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah. Heritage project plan. Okay.
All 75 pages.
That's right. And also, did you receive the city attorney's opinion on public-private partnerships and, you know, what we can and cannot do? Did everybody see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I.
Yeah.
I did not see that, but that's okay.
Well, the city attorney's opinion is fairly critical to this discussion because the city attorney shoots down much of what is being proposed in the Heritage Funding Team proposal.
And that was my impression as well, Steve, is that he did not feel that it was a match made in heaven, I guess, for lack of a better.
Right.
Well, maybe we should read it because I haven't seen it. Can we read it?
Mary, it's lengthy. I'm sure you received it.
It was in our packet.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's in the packet.
Okay.
Yeah, if you just scroll down, it's...
Thank you. Okay.
I mean, it's not overly lengthy. It's, you know, it's two pages.
Yeah, but we wouldn't want to take...
No.
You know, I guess, Steve, my feeling, you know, his last little paragraph is our only out. You know, not say, he says it's not to say that city offices can't assist with providing paperwork, but not committing taxpayer monies, blah, blah, blah. That would be the only type of support, as I read it.
Right, which is already defined in the ordinance that creates the commission, that the, you know, the city provides support by processing our minutes and other, keeping the files and so on and so forth. So
So more or less, it's a narrow interpretation of what's in the ordinances about what city council could permit us to do or empower us to do. Is any of that included?
Well, no, what he looked at was the proposal, and he just said that that tax dollars cannot be used for those purposes to support these private endeavors.
Okay, but how doesn't that sort of, that is counter, that's the opposite of what Tom had thought would happen. And why is that?
What Tom's saying, I think. Yeah,
how is this different, Tom, than what you were explaining to us about the port project and other places where public money went to these things? I'm really not sure about that.
Yeah, he's not. You know, he's not against public-private partnerships. He's just, he has some concern about spending money. He really wasn't in favor of the port project. We did hire a different attorney to manage that. So he's very skeptical about using city taxpayer dollars with private entities. And he's not saying that private-public partnerships aren't possible. It's just that
he
wants to be a little more clearer of what's going to happen here. You know, with the original proposal, he's saying there's just not enough information there. There's not enough. There's not enough cause or reason to use taxpayer dollars for that project and for a project manager. He kind of states that in his opinion too,
gives examples.
Yes, he does.
He gives examples of the types of public-private that can be used, and says that those do not fit what this proposal is.
Okay, do you have that in front of you? Could you read it for the benefit of those who are listening so that they have clarity about what we're discussing? Would that be possible?
He has different things. I mean, he references the document, the proposal, throughout his opinion. So, I mean, you would really have to read his full opinion to get, to understand everything that he's pointing out.
This is Diane. I just sent you that that document, which is the legal opinion from Stephen Lindsay. I just sent it to you. It's all included in the email that we got with the minutes and the draft from the last meeting you guys had. I'd be willing to read it out loud, but it might be easier for you to just, if you're in a position to click on it and read it as we go. But I also was under the opinion that there was not an issue between public-private ownership, and that the idea originally was that if the city was going to hire a person, part-time or contractual, to oversee this, it would not be solely for the purpose of the HRC, but that person would also pursue other grant monies out there that would benefit the city. So not just for the historic properties, but for other things in our community. So I read it and it's like, I guess you can read between the lines, but that's the bottom line for me was that he was not opposed. He did not find a conflict with public-private ownership. And we would be, I think, okay, as a city or a commission, we would be have to be very cautious about how we broke down the monies and how we funded things. But it, the person that you're looking at that would come on board would be not just for the HRC, but they would be functioning for the entire city of Sheboygan. That's my opinion.
Yes, that was my understanding as well. And would that be perceived then as a conflict?
With all due respect, Diane, I think the opinion is a little more clearer than that. You know, I'm going to read one paragraph from it. He said,
good.
The proposal as presented does not support an appropriate partnership, which would be a viable mechanism to expend taxpayer dollars on, as taxpayer dollars are not intended to benefit private property ownerships, but rather are intended to benefit a broad range of community resources, which collectively benefit the taxpayer base. Ultimately, the proponent would have to convince the city council to approve spending taxpayer dollars on private improvement projects, which would be problematic for the reasons set forth above.
And that's what I appreciate what you read, Steve, but I never heard in any of the proposals or the consultants that we have heard from that taxpayer dollars would be spent on this. We're talking about, and I guess maybe the argument is, if we hire somebody, is that person we hire, is that coming out of taxpayer dollars? I guess that's the bottom line.
Yes, it is. Yes,
yeah.
It
right.
is.
And okay. I think that's the issue too.
Okay,
right.
Gotcha.
Okay,
gotcha.
So if the person were paid in a different way, then we could proceed with the hiring of somebody at some given low rate that would unleash the power to raise $9 million that would certainly benefit the city.
So then
he suggests in his opinion is that the
right.
private property owners should band together and fund this person and but that the city should not be involved.
But
right.
Okay,
that's what I got too, Bobby.
I think also though when you apply for grants, I believe if I understand correctly, and I'm pretty new at this game, I think there's a portion of grant writing that goes toward the salary of the person writing the grant. So that would not involve taxpayer money at all. It would be part of the grant that we would apply for. Is that correct,
right.
Tom?
Not necessarily. No. I mean, you can't get a grant and then try to pay for yourself. You submit a grant to the foundation or governmental entity and
okay.
Yeah, you're asking them for money. They don't care.
So if the Heritage Project applied mm-hmm. for a grant and part of that grant money went toward paying for the person that applied for it, would that remove the legal technicalities? I'm just looking for ways to make it happen, and again, I'm very new at this, so
okay.
I'm asking a lot
All
of
right.
questions.
Well, no. Right, but Diane, you're doing great, and I guess the thing is here is that the person, whoever this was, and this Heritage Project never attempted to segregate a city-owned property from privately owned property or 501c or non-for-profit owned property. We were trying to have a unified approach that would help everybody because there is also a great benefit to having multiple properties at one time in a cohesive way become eligible for grants that otherwise would not be the case. So it seems to me that, okay, first of all, maybe maybe there are commissioners who don't believe that we should proceed with the project. Maybe that's, or proceed in a different way, or, you know, that's the, maybe that's the clarification.
We have to proceed in a way where we're not going to be encumbering city tax dollars.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I agree. I don't disagree at all. We can figure out a way to do that if there is the will to take on, to do this project and to do it in a cohesive and unified way. If that's there, then we can find the money through a variety of different sources.
And that's exactly what Stephen Lindsay says in here, that you,
okay,
your group should go and find the person and write the grants and do your thing with your private.
What group?
Your funding group. Stephen said that there's already, city-owned properties already have a funding mechanism that, and people that can write grants.
What is that, Bobby?
What is that? What?
The city-owned property, the only city-owned property at this point that I see is the Opera House. Am I correct?
Right.
No, the Bodman Building also.
The Bodman Building.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
The lease is up in 8 years.
Yeah.
Okay. It just makes me, I always laugh about it, but... And he says, his one paragraph, I strongly suspect a great deal of these applications must be made by the owners, and no doubt many of them have these resources.
That's not true. See, okay, here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing ambiguity, and maybe, okay, the clarification I need is that does the city want to participate with the other property owners, whether they be nonprofit or privately owned? Does the city want to do that and see any benefit? That would be you, Tom.
Yeah.
And Diane.
That's a good question.
Yeah,
I think we should propose that to city council. I mean, with the city attorney's opinion and the new proposal that David Kimball has put together. You know, the city council hasn't seen that.
I should clarify this. There's not anything new in this proposal that wasn't in the first proposal. He just cleaned it up and made it look magnificent and more easily readable. But the concepts have not changed. The concepts are still the same.
Well, then what the council is going to do is then look at that proposal in light of what they received from their council, which is this opinion, and it's not going to go anywhere.
Well, I don't know about that, Steve. I would challenge
no,
that.
No, Mary, I think when they're going to look at Stephen's recommendation and take it at face value and say, well, no, we can't commit city funds.
Well, then maybe Diane and I could do something to, because there needs to be clarification, I think. And maybe Diane and I can talk with Steve and Tom, or David Kimball, who has a lot more experience in doing public-private partnerships. Maybe there's something that we can create that is, you know, more palatable or gives greater illumination to some of these ideas, because I'm hearing maybe and if a lot in the words that, and we're not sure of ourselves, I don't think.
I have a question, and this is Diane. Is, you know, I was appointed to this commission by the mayor, and I'm very happy to be a part of it because I think it's a very valuable part of our community. I guess I'm a little concerned listening to everyone that's on the commission. No one, you don't sound like you're all on the same page that you want us to pursue or find the way to fund and restore and rehabilitate the many historic buildings in our little community. And we're not a huge town, but we have lots of history here. And I want to fight the battle for all the right reasons, but I want to know that this commission that I was appointed to is going and wanting to go in the same direction. And so that's, I'm going to throw that out there for you, because I will fight the battle for you if it's feasible and realistic. And right now, this year, 2019, you can't even consider this a normal year, because nothing's
normal
right now.
Honey, it's 2020. Honey, it's 2020.
Thank you. Thanks, Kay. I was just at another meeting before this, and we were looking at the budget from last year. So I'm sorry, but that's my thought. I will really fight for you guys, because your properties are so important to our community. But I want to know that we're all going in the same direction, financially, legally, and what's going to benefit the city. And maybe the timing right now, because of what's happening, is just kind of crazy, but maybe we need to keep this plan and hold on to it, maybe going into next year. I'm just not sure, because there's going to be so many changes with the council, with the mayor, the city manager, and it would be nice for us to all be on the same page and not turn all this over to a new council who has no idea what's going on. Those are just my thoughts as I listen to everyone.
You know, Tom, I want to go back to something.
I would like
you said.
To point out.
Okay, I'm
Hello?
Sorry, Lois.
This is Lois.
Go ahead, Lois. Yep.
I would like Lois. To point out that there are probably innumerable historic homes where poorer people live that can't afford that half the rate. But the Habitat for Humanity is working with them. Why can't we get together?
Okay. So
I wanted to go back.
Diane, I really do appreciate Diane and your support, and it's been continuous and ongoing. But I believe that there are those, perhaps maybe for whatever reason, they may not be on board, or they need to be more informed or more educated about a particular part of it. But this is not something that hasn't been done in many communities. So that's where I guess I would challenge, or not challenge, but I think we should all educate ourselves, or maybe ask questions before we throw out the baby in the bathwater. Because
so I want to go back to something Tom had said earlier about the port project, that they got an opinion from a different attorney. Would that be worth pursuing, and what would it cost? Or did I misunderstand what I heard?
No, we actually hired a specialist for the Port of Sheboygan project, and it costs a lot of money. It costs about $64,000, but he was a specialist in the field and public-private partnerships, and that was a big project. I mean, it was a huge, huge project that the city committed nearly $1 million to it up front.
Correct. Okay, so
how is this different? Why does Steve Lindsay think that this is different?
Mary, I think you need to read his opinion. We're all talking about this, and some of us haven't even read the opinion. So I think before we proceed,
I've done several. So I guess I would just say that in the working through the document and in the research that accompanied it, and in my conversations with Tom, I felt like we were abiding by all of the principles that would make it happen. I certainly did not, I didn't ignore them. So that's why I'm a little puzzled. And especially with the model being the port project.
Put any money into the trail project?
I think the difference between this the Heritage Project and the Port Project is, in at least what Stephen's opinion is we really didn't, and on the Port Project, we only spent city tax dollars on city purchases and improvements. We didn't make many improvements, but it was mainly sales. So there wasn't anybody in the private sector that directly benefited from tax dollars that the city was spending. Only the city.
Not the real estate owners. Not the real estate of the owners of the real estate that you purchased with city money.
Eventually, I mean, we didn't use city money to help them make improvements. They use their own money. I mean, they were just sale transactions. So, for example, it would be like buying the Opera House from a private entity and then refurbishing it, putting some money into it, and then selling it to another private entity.
For a dollar, it says on my deed. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
How can I ask a question, Tom, based on just what you said? How would the city, so if we do this project and we refurbish all of these buildings and these historic properties, Is there something wrong with the city profiting from that or seeing revenues from that? I mean, isn't that the whole idea of, you know, you said, you know, throw money at a project and it'll make you money. How is this different?
It would be fine if we're gonna throw money, so to speak, at city-owned properties like the Opera House, like the Bodman Building,
right?
To try to save those historic buildings, and I think that's fine. I think reading into what Stephen is saying is that this plan is looks like it's going to use city taxpayer dollars to benefit for-profit organizations. And
so if we do something that we're not using taxpayer dollars, then we're okay.
I think we could partner, and again, like Stephen says, we may be able to provide, you know, some non-monetary support, like possibly office space or utilizing some city services to help.
Uh-huh.
But nothing, he's concerned about direct financial benefit of for-profit organizations.
So if we find a way to fund, for instance, a position, whether it's part-time, contractual, within the city, that this person would apply for grants all over the world, wherever the money is out there, which seems to be a lot of it. And that money comes back into the city, and none of taxpayer dollars pay for that person's position. And that money goes toward, let's say, use the Kingston, for example. Putting new lights in on the sign, and that, you know, it's historical and lights are all burned out and it's privately owned, but we do that and
right.
We throw some money at some of the other places that are privately owned that bring money into the community because it becomes a place of, that people want to come to, you know, a destination
sure.
source. The money that these properties glean from that, Would that be problematic?
The Kingston Theater would not be eligible for most preservation grants that exist. Because that grant money goes to private nonprofit or governmental agencies. Okay. So we can't get money and give it to the Kingston. That's a okay. private business. It benefits that business. It increases the value of their property. And when they turn around and sell it and make a profit on it, that's an inappropriate use of, if the city works on it, or very few of those granting agencies are going to give money to such an entity as that.
Okay, thanks, Stephen, for that clarification.
All this grant money that's out there, and that's not true. There isn't a lot of grant money out there for these purposes, and in the last 4 months, it's dried up really quickly. Mm-hmm. And if there is so much grant money out there, write the grants and get it. Focus on that. But, you know, it's fairly limited what these funds are. And those granting agencies are not going to give money to private businesses to do this.
Okay. So let me ask you, Stephen. Hang on, Mary.
Can I interject,
Stephen, since you brought that,
I have to say, you know, the USDA has already agreed to, they would fund K because they fund museums. The USDA.
Museum is a nonprofit.
They're eligible for NEH money. They're eligible for IMLS money. You know, and those are just the governmental ones, and numerous private foundations. The Historical Society is eligible for those. They could apply for them.
But the Historical Society's issue is we don't have the staff to do that.
Right.
You know, So there we are again. If the city was able
to afford, which I don't think they are, but a grant writer to help these, that would be appropriate. The Historical Society could receive that support from the city. You know, Lindsay is very clear in his opinion on that. A private nonprofit, the city can help them out, and again, they're eligible for a variety of grants.
So as a not-for-profit then it would be okay.
Yes.
Or is it more of an issue? I've raised over $300,000 in grants for the Sheboygan Carnegie 501c3. And actually it was based on that I really had hope and I believed strongly that we could benefit and share a lot of that with the other entities, the other historic properties, including the Opera House, which is city owned, and including the Bodman Building and the other buildings that were included. Because while we're working for one, we can be working for all. And it is in that group effort and in that cohesiveness that we have our strength and we have our power. But people, and I think a tremendous benefit, I've already separately talked with the owners of the real estate companies in town. Now, if you want to help this community, we could keep on this track because they need people to work. And if we can provide the work through working on these historic buildings, it would be a tremendous benefit on a number of fronts, job opportunities, and rehabbing and giving hope to the residential neighborhoods that have had to look for these buildings in that state. And then to see their assets, their historic assets, unpreserved in a building with a leaking roof. I just don't think it's acceptable as somebody who is supposed to be a commissioner and advocate based on the ordinances that have been written by the city for us to abide by. And I think we can do a lot better. And I'm so grateful to Diane because she's asking us to step up and support her while she's supporting us.
Okay, so this conversation, I mean, we could talk for ever on this, because I know we all have very strong opinions and very strong feelings about everything. But do we have a purpose to have something that's going to go in front of City Council to approve? And how do we take what Stephen Lindsay gave us and create our wish list, I guess, or whatever, for council? Or am I wrong?
No, you know, Kay, you're right on, and I think, you know, I will advocate for you as much as I can, but I also I just need to feel that your group is all together and supportive of going forward with whatever your goals are. I think, you know, there's been no question.
I totally want to go forward, but I guess after reading Steve's letter, I have questions into, are we legal? Are we, you know, are we following guidelines or whatever? You know what I mean?
If we interpret what Steve said as negative and stop, then we don't have a case to make to City Council, because City Council has to rely on their legal counsel's opinion. However,
right,
before we go to council, there could be maybe some other conversation about how we're organized, because I think that we're missing certain points about who is fundable and how this team of people can, and we anticipate a $9 million worth of work. And these are experts. They know what they're doing. They're familiar with Sheboygan, and they wouldn't say that and put their professional careers on the line and say that they could do it if they can't do it. So I must say, I believe it's ultimately doable. How we do it and with whom we do it is maybe the question. Maybe that's the question. I think we owe the City Council the opportunity to at least be briefed on the issue. And maybe not from the commissioners. I don't know if the I mean, how can we assess where everybody's at in terms of support? I support it, obviously. I think Diane does.
I support it, obviously.
And Lois has said she does.
I support it.
Yes. Bobby, you in there?
I do not support it.
Bobby, let me ask you something. This is Diane. What is it about the documents that you've received that you don't support? You've been pretty consistent about this whole thing since I've been involved. What is it that you're not supportive of?
Well, I basically agree with everything that Stephen Lindsay wrote in his letter. The part about the private and public, you know, the use of taxpayer money.
Right.
The fact that some of these privately owned properties, the property owners have never stepped forward to say anything, whether they are for this or not. We haven't heard anything from St. Charles or from the school. Yes. Or,
okay, I have,
you
to,
know,
I'm going to interrupt here, because St. Charles, remember, they did the bazaar last year. They did Taste Our Town. And if you saw the level of progress he's made, you know that he is working day and night. He's
that's fine, Mary, but he has not come before the city and said he was part of the, wants to be part of this project.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
I think to be fair, I think he is waiting to see what it, to see how to get to go to City Council when it was ready. And in the meantime, I can forward to you the desperate concerns that Dory has. Dory Kirchhoff going forward with the school, and the fact that she really needs help, and she's wanted help, and she's tried to get help from the city, and it hasn't been forthcoming yet for a variety of reasons.
No, but I think what I just I have to say, I heard you, Mary, and I hear you, Bobby, and I agree that, you know, I asked, in fact, I know that you have some people that are not going to be coming back to the HRC, and we're looking for replacements or appointments. And Bill, I commend him and applaud him for everything he's done over at St. Charles. But those are the same, those are exactly the people that need to be a part of this commission. They come to the city council and say, you know,
Bill was on this commission. Bill was on this commission and he resigned from it.
Yeah. Was there a reason, Stephen? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was never.
And maybe some people don't like being a part of that, the board or that whole political stuff. But I will be your advocate. But I need to know that I have all of you behind me.
Sure. Wait. And, okay. Let me just speak for a minute without interruptions. Okay. Here. Let's backtrack.
Thank you.
Okay. Diane, this proposal does not come from this commission. This was presented to us to vet, to then present it to council. So this is not born of us. This was Mary formed this wonderful group to put this proposal together. She brought it to us to vet it and then to present it to council. We asked the city attorney to review it too, and now we have his opinion. So it's not like we all have to be behind this or that all of us were ever part of this. This was just presented to us. And when it comes to a vote, Mary, certainly, and possibly Kay, must recuse themselves from voting whether we present this to council, because they have a direct involvement and are beneficiaries of it. Kay, because of a nonprofit, and it's not our personal property.
I beg your pardon, sir. I'm a member of the Historical Society, and I've been working on Historical Society and continue to work with the Historical Society. In fact, the cap I wore tonight says Sheboygan Historical Society of Michigan, or Sheboygan. You know, let's make sure you know that there are more people in the community that are interested in what's going on totally, not just the Historic Resources Commission, but everything, you know. And they pay taxes, but they
with all due respect, Lois, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you know, you said that the Historical Society, because they're one of the
Lois, I have a vested interest.
Because he's currently on the board of the Historical Society.
I'm a past president of the Historical Society.
But you're not currently.
Right. You're not currently on the board. She's a board member.
Have you had a board meeting lately and taken a vote on this issue?
Okay, Steve, I do agree with you that it was a vetting process. Do you feel like it's been properly vetted?
Well, I do. We received the major concern now is it's been vetted by the city's attorney, and he has some major problems with it. So I'm not comfortable now.
Okay, I get it. But would you be comfortable, and would Bobby be comfortable, if the concept were paid without, if we were able to promote to get a planning grant, which I can get as a possibility, and Tom has suggested that before, so that we can move forward with the expertise of people who can be sure we can deliver the projects and get them done? Would that be, is that maybe something that's more palatable or a direction that we should go in?
Who's applying for the planning grant?
Well, I can do it. There's a number of people that can do it. Tom and I were made aware of it through Diane Rakowski and Northeast Michigan Council of Governments, and they have recommended that we apply for it.
Yeah,
Tom, do you remember that? The 10 minutes? Okay.
Yes, I do, Mary. Yeah.
Okay. Is that more, I mean, I'm just throwing that out because, you know, I would hate to see, you know, the benefits that I'm sure could come to our community for whatever reasons be sidetracked or not explored fully. So
I can tell you why, Matt. I can tell you why.
Okay. So, Steve, how about that? I won't interrupt, I promise.
Sure. I mean, and you probably don't need council's, you know, approval to move forward on something like that.
Okay, maybe we should just step back a minute, take a deep breath. You know, I'd like to hear from the people who are online who have been listening to us, and maybe they have something to say. But it's not the hill to die on that we go through the Historic Resources Commission. There might be a better way to do it, another way to do it. And we need to explore it, because who needs pushback? We don't need any more failures. We need to move forward in a unified way and do and take care of these properties, which have been lingering forever, in whatever way we can, and protect them in perpetuity. So, you know, I think we could do that. I think may not work through the Historic Resources Commission, but maybe we can figure out some other way to do it.
This is Diane. My last comment is, I appreciate all the work all of you have been putting into this, and your commitment is very obvious to me, and I'm pretty new in the community, but I applaud you all. And I also look at this as the people on this commission that are trying to push this forward, they really have they don't have a horse in this race. They're not looking for money.
But I do. I'm going to correct you.
Mary, stop that.
Mary. Go ahead.
I just want to finish what I'm saying, and I will let you speak. But
okay.
I see people wanting to do this. There's really no benefit for them personally. There's a benefit for the community, and I hear that. I see it. I keep hearing it, and that's all I want to say. That's it. I'm done.
All right, and I think I do. I should explain that I do in fact have a $400,000 investment, and that I do in fact have a background in doing grants and large projects like this. And the other part of it is that I think it's really doable. I think it is a benefit to the city. I think there's different levels of understanding of how and why we should do this. But I certainly would not benefit at all from the grants, because we would have to figure out the building ownership. I mean, does the city want to own more historic properties that they have to take care of without the benefit of having a grant writer to, or something, or fundraiser of some kind, to be able to maintain and program them? So I feel like I have a horse in the race on a lot of levels. And so with that, I would ask Tom or Bridget maybe to uncork or unmute the people who have been listening for so long, and maybe they'll have some fresh response to what they're hearing.
All the point I was trying to make, Mary, is that all of you people on the commission and have been so committed to this, you're not out there, you know, you're not collecting tickets, you're not making money on this. You are invested because it's important to you. You're not going to benefit from this in the long run, but the city will. And that's the only point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
And
okay,
Diane,
that's true.
Diane, I just want to say, and the longer you live next door to Maura Eustace, the more you will come to love this town.
I already do.
That's between you and me.
Listen, I saw Leo last week, and you know what? I've been coming up here for 30 years. Why do you think I retired here? That's it. Okay. I'm done with the meeting. I love you guys. Thank you.
I love you. And thank you for loving me.
Don't we have to listen to the public?
Right. No. Yes, we do. That's what I was just about to speak and end our little love fest here. And if there's no further discussion on item three, we will move on to public comments. So,
okay, we'll go ahead and get started with caller 1136. I'm going to go ahead and unmute you if you have any comments for the commission tonight.
No comment.
Thank you, and we'll move on to caller 4168.
Hi, this is Bruce Estrin. I was in
the previous meetings by phone. I'm one of the possible consultants, or at least I have a history around the consulting work. And I guess I just want to say one thing. Even stepping out of my consulting role, I think people are closer to a possible pathway than they realize, but more work has to be done. And some have been more involved. Mary, who I know, has been very involved for a while. But from what I hear from everybody, including the attorney's letter, there's a lot of ground that could be on which the idea of a real public-private partnership could be approached. I've been doing a fair amount of research and reading, and there are models that really speak to, I think, a lot of the passion and a lot of the interest of everybody on the phone call. It's just a matter of taking enough time to put it together, share it with people, get some feedback around where everybody wants to go. Not just, we're stuck a little bit with the idea of the blind man and the elephant. Everybody's got a different hold on this idea. And I think we just need to bring the entirety of it and the possibilities and the benefits to light. And I think then people's interest in trying to do what's right for Sheboygan will be the driving factor. But you need the legal, financial, and community clarity that's not quite there yet. So I think we're closer, but I do believe, and it's evidence in the attorney's letter, as well as some comments, there's some elements that still need to be worked on and clarified and then brought to people in a better fashion. And I think we're getting close, but we're not there yet.
Okay. Bruce, thank you so much.
Thank you. And we'll go ahead and move on. I'm sorry?
Okay, thank you.
We'll go ahead and move on to David Kimball.
Yes. I am unmuted. Thank you. I appreciate everything that has been discussed. And my feeling is that the document that we put together is a work in progress, and it needs more massaging to get so that everybody understands fully what's being proposed, because from what I've heard in this meeting, it is not clear to me that everybody fully understands what the goal of the whole process really is. And we just need more clarification on that. I second what Bruce has just said. And that's why we're doing this. It's to get a group behind it so that the benefits can be realized and seen and understood. And once that's done, I think the city will realize its benefit, and we can move forward.
Thank you, David. Bridget, are there any other?
We have one more public participant with us tonight, and that's Sherry Nelson. I'll go ahead and unmute her.
Thank you.
Hello. I'd like to say that I believe that the attorney was looking for an easy reason to reject the public and private partnership concept. And I don't know if it's because he didn't understand what the whole concept was or exactly what was happening, but I think he was just throwing it out there, the easiest reason that he could do to reject it. Also, I agree with Diane in saying that all of these projects that are enumerated are 501c3s, and they're all for the community good. So it's a win-win for everybody if they get done. And I believe that the city has been negligent in preserving historic properties, and it's time they should step up. Also, I think the HRC has not done its job in historic preservation. What have they done over the last 20 years in doing anything to preserve historic properties? Plus, the city buy-in is critical in getting some of these grants. So I think that it is fair that the city participate in this project. And a grant writer is essential. And I think if it has to be a shared position, fine. If they don't work on just these projects, if it can be shared with the city or a part-time person, I think it's essential that the city buy into this because it's a benefit to the whole community. Thank you very much. That's it.
Thank you.
And that
any
was
more
all
comments, Bridget? Okay,
no, that
thank
was
you very much.
Yeah, that was all.
Thank you, Bruce and David, for your comments. I think you clarified one of the biggest problems with this is this lack of clarity. And I think that may have been Attorney Lindsay's problems with it, that there was some confusion on the proposal that's been laid out already. And I agree with, you know, particularly what Bruce said, it's on the right track. It just needs to be clarified a little better. The city attorney was working with what he had before him, and I don't think he had a hidden agenda in any way and took the easy way out. He provided sound legal opinion to the council on this issue, so I disagree with Sherry. If Sherry is truly so unhappy with the way this commission is running, we have several vacancies on it, and she can step in, and I will gladly step down from chairman and off this commission, and you can move forward in any way you wish. After this, all right? Any other comments from the board?
Well, we
My
do have.
Is, what do we do next?
You refine this proposal and you actually read the attorney's position. It is now 7 o'clock. I have elsewhere to be. I have a few more comments, matters of business to attend to. Is there any further discussion on this? All right, I've spoken with representatives of the Congregational Church in St. James Episcopal. They're very interested in having, St. James is being designated a historic resource and have instructed me to begin the application process. The Congregational Church, the pastor is presenting the proposal before his congregation and they will vote on that. And so those two additional properties may be added to the historical resources in the near future. Does any other commissioners have any updates on the other properties that have been proposed in
yes,
the last 6 months?
Secrets on Main, they are in the works. I'm collecting information on that. I do need to have access to some of the documents that are in the city hall, at the city, and Judy's gonna help me arrange to get those. And I likewise talked to the First Congregational, so I'm glad, Steve, that they're in the works, so to speak.
Yeah, I sent them information so he could propose it before his board or council or whatever they call it, congregation. But Father Caruso contacted me just this morning, and very happy to be nominated. Are there any other board comments?
Well, we have some positions apparently we have to fill, and perhaps we need nominations for people to fill those positions. Just wondering.
Well, people have to go online and fill out the application, and then the mayor. That's my understanding.
Yes, it is, and those appointments are by the mayor, and I would suggest that Sherry Nelson submit her application for possible city appointment. That's it. And I will say goodbye, Steve, and everyone on the commission. I love the conversation tonight, and I look forward to the next time.
All right. Any other comments by board members?
I was wondering about your brother, Dan. Do you think Dan would want to be on the board? Tom?
Dan,
you're asking me, Kay?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Possibly, Dan. Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Possibly. You're right, he is my brother.
Yeah, why don't you ask him?
You know,
I will.
He might qualify as a historic piece.
We have his little league outfit at the History Center, so he already does qualify.
Yeah.
So are we planning to, do we need a date for City Council to present to them or not? What do we do in the interim, like tomorrow, to move along in a positive way?
Well, Mary, I thought that you were, you got your whole Heritage team was going to present to the council on the 28th because David Kimmel said,
"That's right.
Give us some time." So,
okay, if it's on, we'll prepare if it's on. But
you need to talk to HRC, and then talk to Bridget about putting you on the agenda.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, good. And I will forward David Kimball's most recent rendition of the project to the council. They have not seen that portion of the project, and you know David did a great job with streamlining it. Even though it's 75 pages, he really did a great job with.
I know, it's so good.
Kind of, so like Tom, Mary said, cleaning up the project.
Right. I agree, Tom. He did a great job.
What are we going to ask council to do?
Well, I think they just need information first, Mary. I mean, they
okay. That's all right. That's good.
They need the update of the Heritage Project, and I think they need to review it. It's a 75 page document. I think they need to have some understanding of what it's about, and I tomorrow night I can make a comment about it. I'll get it out to them by email tomorrow. They're not going to have a lot of time to review it, but I'll just make a comment in my city manager report to take a look at this project and they can review it.
And Tom, I'll do the same because at the council meeting tomorrow night, it's part of my report to the council. And if we can get that document to them and just ask them, review it, you know, over the next 2 weeks, because it's long, but it's very well written. And that will be my report tomorrow night. So.
Okay.
So we're not going to ask for any action. We're going to be doing a briefing. And I say that because I'll make sure that the consultants are there to speak to the individual roles that they would play. Is that correct? Would that be helpful?
It's the 28th, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be good. And in case council has questions, then those people will be there. If they haven't read the document, it'll give them a chance to ask questions before we may, you know, go forward on anything formally.
All right. Well, they know that Steve Lindsay has already given his opinion, and it's negative. They'll know that too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the council have seen it, but I will provide that with them as well. With Kimball's document.
All right.
Let me ask one question.
Oh. Is that Lois?
I have a question. If we have a past member of the Historic Resources Commission that left for one reason or another, are they eligible to be reappointed?
I believe so.
Sure, they could be, yes. Yep, there's no reason they couldn't
be. Thank you.
Probably up to Tom, as I understand it, the mayor.
That's right. Yeah, the mayor would have to make the decision.
They can submit it, maybe like a letter of interest or something that they'd be reappointed.
There's an application they have to fill out.
Is there? Okay.
It's simple. It's online.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could probably do that through the city.
The city website, you can get an application.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Okay. Are there any other board member comments?
I'm not a member of the board, Stephen, but can I say this? I love being part of this. I love the open discussion, and I appreciate everybody's input, but because it helps me make informed decisions. So I'm not a member of the commission, but I'm a liaison, so I just wanted to throw that out there. Thank you very much.
We certainly appreciate you attending our meetings and showing the interest of the council here. Anything else from board members? If not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make such a motion, Kay Forster.
This is Bobby. I'll second.
All in favor? Okay.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We stand adjourned.